Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Summers. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan.
Okay, from the kitchen, of course. It is a very good evening to you on this Monday night on your Fan New York City. Steve Summers here, and of course, you there. And on the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson is Paulie Rosenberg. And note from the 1-877-337-6666 for another four-hour Monday marathon schmooze right up until Sound Licata and Sound coming your way at midnight right here on your Fan New York City. But coming your way right now, a pleasure to welcome aboard for a couple of minutes, Chris Carino, the radio voice of the Brooklyn Nets. And Chris, thank you for a couple of minutes of your time for sure.
Schmooze, it's been a while since I spoke to you. I'm so honored to be back and to be in the kitchen this time. This is great. What do we got cooking in the kitchen?
Well, we have some popcorn within arm's length, and I would be nice. More than happy, only with sea salt. I'm not using any butter, but the sea salt is there. And if you were here, you would be more than welcome to take a couple of handfuls. Take my word.
All right. You get a rare night where there's no Yankees or Nets.
Yeah, well, that's true. But the Mets are on, so, you know, and where the TV is, I don't have a TV in the kitchen. I probably should get one. But I do use the phone if I don't drop it, if I don't misplace it, and so forth and so on. So there are ways for me to look in, but I do want to focus and concentrate as best I can on the hours that I have taken calls and certainly talking to you. The number one question, how are the Nets, without the two of the big three, going to win this series against Milwaukee?
It's going to be tough, Steve. It's obviously going to be tough. I do think, though, you know, if you could follow the logic here, going into a game where they know they don't have Harden or Kyrie, I think is going to be helpful to them. You know, it isn't like game one when, you know, Harden goes down in the first minute and you've got to scrap the game plan. It isn't like yesterday's game where Kyrie gets hurt. When it's still a tight game in the second quarter, and now things are now you didn't anticipate not having to play with Kyrie. I think it's not an ideal situation not to have Kyrie or James Harden. I think going into the game you know that. So today and getting ready tomorrow, the players know it, the coaches know it, their game plan is. Kevin Durant is our focal point, and they're approaching it there. You don't have to change up on the fly. There's no deflating moment where a guy goes down. You got to watch it. So I do think that although it looks a little dour and Nets fans are going to be down, I do think going in to the game knowing this is the team you have, I think is helpful to them in this situation.
And they know that all of them are going to have to step up because essentially, if I hear between your words, and we saw this obviously at the end of game four, I mean, Durant becomes the point forward. And again, but will there be enough balance? Does he feel, do you think he feels, or do you think he will take maybe more shots than he needs to take without trying to find the balance with the other four guys on the floor?
Sure, and I think he did a little too much of that yesterday after Kyrie went out. And we've seen that at times. But I do think, now I went to the game yesterday saying, game four seemed to be, to me, like, who are the X factor guys that are going to step up? You know, on either side, it really hadn't, we haven't seen an X factor guy step up on either side, have a big game. Maybe Blake Griffin a little bit in game one. But really, you know, and yesterday the Bucks got more of that. You know, P.J. Tucker not only is doing his thing defensively against Kevin Durant, but he was making threes, and Connaughton came in and made a three. Holiday played a little better. And so I think for the Nets, are they going to get that big game from Joe Harris? You know, is Mike James going to go off? Is Landry Shamet going to come up with a 20-point game? You know, where is that? That we haven't seen. And I think there's opportunity. And, you know, you mentioned other guys feel like they got to step up. I mean, I thought that happened in game one. You know, game one, when Harden went down, it seemed like everybody else rallied. They said, you know what, we've got to do a little bit more. And I also think that's it helps when you're at home when that happens. You know, when you're shorthanded, when you're at home, I think stars play great everywhere. Role players tend to have those big games at home. I think you saw that from the Bucks the last two games, especially yesterday. And I think if you're a Net fan, you got to be hopeful that one of those X factor guys is going to step forward at Barclays Center, where the Nets have really been good this year, Steve. They've really been good at home this year.
Sure. Oh, you mentioned about one of these guys that out of nowhere is going to step up and have a big game, and you mentioned, of course, for Milwaukee with PJ Tucker. Of course, he had a total of 9 points. He didn't score at all in game three, had a total of 9 points after the three games, had 13. Do you think that he has gotten under the skin and or in the head of Kevin Durant? It certainly seemed, and even though they're good friends, we all know from that, on a number of levels, we all know, but it does seem that Durant let Tucker, with his eyelash-to-eyelash defense, you know, get under the skin of Kevin Durant, and it affected him, I would think, because, here he was, and very, very physical enough that that Nash, as you know, after the game, commented about how rough the physicality was with P.J. Tucker.
Yeah. Well, Steve had to acknowledge something at some point after one of these two games, because, you know, the officials really let him play. And they really let the Bucks play a physical style that is not really the game's called differently now in the playoffs than it is during the regular season, and they had to be frustrated with that. And I thought Steve might say something after game three. He said it after game four. I mean, it's got to be addressed. You've got to kind of put it out there. And you know, as far as PJ Tucker, this is a guy. Remember, Steve, he played small ball center with the Rockets. He's always been a defensive-minded player who gives you toughness. They acquired him in the middle of the year for exactly the role you're seeing him right now, to guard Kevin Durant. Yeah. Like, they knew the road to the NBA Finals is going to go through Brooklyn, and we need a guy that can get under Kevin Durant's skin, that can play Kevin Durant and can try and take him out of his game. I'm guaranteed you that was the main focus when they made that trade for PJ Tucker. Here's our Durant stopper. And you know, listen, Kevin Durant has played against other guys that in his career that have been Durant stoppers who were not able to stop Durant. Nobody really does. But he, again, being in Milwaukee, the crowd behind him, role players tend to play a little better on the road at home. I think that the fact that the referees let him play, the officials let him play, and he has certainly got under Kevin Durant's skin. And Kevin, You know, Kevin got taken out of his game a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tucker, add insult to injury, during a key stretch of the game where Milwaukee kind of grabbed the lead and took over. He hit a couple of threes in the left corner. So he was doing it on both ends of the floor. And, you know, whether or not he's stopping him, he's just doing enough to bother Kevin Durant. You know, the biggest thing about Kevin Durant is the ease at which he does everything. And yeah, it just hasn't looked easy for him. Yeah. Over the last couple of games.
No, and you know the numbers like nobody else. And I saw where when guarded by Tucker in game four, Durant was 3 for 12. He was 6 for 13 when everyone else was guarding him. And overall in the two losses in Milwaukee, 20 for 53. Here's what my thinking is, and who knows. Again, I would be surprised, Chris, you know, if the Nets somehow find the people to step up and make a difference when so shorthanded, missing two Hall of Famers to be. But the bottom line, my thinking is that, say, Durant, you know, and there is some balance and Harris steps up and Claxton and Green and now I guess Brown is out for what the rest of however long the Nets season.
Well, Kyrie will be out. Brown is okay.
Oh, I mean, who am I thinking of?
Kyrie Irving.
Yes. Well, no, not Irving. It was Irving out. Yes, I know he's going to be out now.
Yeah, Green was the only other player that was out, right, but he came back yesterday.
That's right. Yes, yeah, that's right. And even Smoke. After the game, about what the rest of the team.
No, and all these guys, Steve, all these guys you're mentioning have been very important to them this year. You know, this narrative that the Nets are this super team. You know, the big three haven't been together much. So, you know, they've used 38 different starting lineups this year, and that's a testament to these other guys these other names that you're throwing out there. They've been really good this year. Like I said, maybe you go into the game knowing that it's Durant and those guys, and they've got to contribute a little bit, and you're playing at home. I think the other thing, a key thing to watch, I think, can Durant get some more whistles at Barclays Center, and maybe get P.J. Tucker, in foul trouble, because he should have been in foul trouble yesterday.
Yeah, well, I bet you that happens, and I bet you that they're going to have to sit him for stretches because of possibly fouling out. I do think you're going to get the calls tomorrow. Right, and thank you for correcting me. I mean, I know about Irving and Harden, of course. I was thinking of Green. Here's my thinking also. Say Durant really does, and there's balance, and we get from Harris, and we get from the bench, we get from Griffin to play over the top, like we saw from Griffin earlier in the series. He was absolutely brilliant. Let's say you get a 35 to 40 point game from Durant. Where I consider it possibly a push is because of the Greek, because he could match Durant with points, leaving it to Middleton and to Holiday and even to Forbes, who had 10 points, I believe, in game number four, and then leaving it to these other guys yet to pull off a major surprise in making a big difference in a win for Brooklyn. So, again, I think it'd be a push between the two big guys, the two all-stars, the two all-pros, the two Hall of Famers on each team. I think that would be a push, leaving it up to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Durant against Giannis tomorrow. I mean, those are the two names on the marquee, and they will go toe to toe. And which side will get an X factor guy step up? They seem to score their points either way, both of them, Durant and Giannis. The net defense has been really good, though. You know, it hasn't been. Although Giannis has been around 56% from the floor, which is, you know, he's a high percentage guy because he gets to the rim and he takes a lot of high percentage shots.
Right.
His free throws have been awful. You know, he's like 38% of the series. And I think you've got to be a little more aggressive at putting him at the line. You know, not especially now that Jeff Green is back, you've got more fouls to give, and I would don't let him get so many easy ones around the basket. You know, get him, put him on the line, make him earn him from the free throw line, and that'll be another key to the game. And You know, I just think the Nets have done a good job defensively. It hasn't really been an issue. You know, they've had a good game plan defensively. But there are guys on the Bucks that you worry about that have not done much in this series that have potentially can. I mean, former Net Brooke Lopez is one of those guys.
Well, here
is Bryn Forbes. I mean, it's a huge series against Miami.
Yes, and with the blocks, he didn't block. He didn't have one block in game four. Yeah, but he has been Mr. Defense. He's a rim protector. He altered shots. He's grabbing a rebound. And he, what do you have in game three? Six blocks, Chris?
Yeah. And they protect the paint as well as anybody. And that's why, you know, they really clog the paint. So, it's why Irving struggled in this series a little bit. There aren't those lanes to get to the rim. And then between Giannis and Brooke, they really do. If they don't block the shot, they alter your shot or they make you think differently about your shot. So that's why another reason why, you know, you get a guy like Joe Harris can really loosen things up. And he didn't shoot the ball well in Milwaukee. And that would be the guy that you'd probably say, hey, tomorrow, if the Nets are going to have a chance, they need Joe to really space the floor a little bit, open things up for guys, loosen things up. I think that's going to be a big factor tomorrow.
And Milwaukee in the first three games, Chris, and we're talking with a voice everyone knows already, let's face it, Chris Corino, the radio voice of the Brooklyn Nets. And, of course, with Milwaukee in the first three games, they only hit on 23s and then hit on 16. So, again, it's guarding the perimeter, it's raising the arms, it's contesting shots. And how great is it when the Nets see the ball in the hands of the Greek outside the arc.
Yeah.
He can't shoot, Chris. Why is he out there?
Well, listen, he shot it around 34% during the regular season, which isn't awful for him. He does take a lot of them. He's only made three, I think, in the playoffs so far between this series and the Miami series. So it's always a win when you see a possession where he pulls up from three. I mean, they basically remember, I don't know, the movie Christmas Story. Remember when they double dare you, triple dog dare you to put your tongue on the pole? It's like that's what they do to Giannis. I mean, they play about 15 feet off him when he's behind the arc, and they say, listen, we triple dog dare you to shoot the three. That's a win for us. We'll take that every time, the Nets are saying. So, I think that what you saw in the first two games is the Bucks were the Bucks shoot a lot of threes. I mean, that's their game plan. Giannis takes it to the rim and everybody else shoots threes. So they play that five out, space the floor. They had very little ball movement in the first three games. Mm-hmm. I thought game four they started, the ball moved. And when the ball moves, taking threes is one thing, getting good rhythm threes is another.
Yeah.
You know, you want threes that come off multiple passes where the defense is scrambling. When you're just kind of standing there and pulling up, which is what they did a lot of in the first, three games, that's when you're ineffective. So, you know, I think both teams need to do that. And, both teams like to shoot the three, but it's got to come off ball movement. It's got to be those swing passes. It's got to be where the defense is scrambling. Those are the best threes. And whoever can do that better, in this series, now going forward, everybody knows each other now. They're tired of it. They all know each other's tricks. They all know what they want to do. It comes down to, can you execute? And that's what we're going to see in game five.
And full house tomorrow night ought to be, first of all, after last year, I mean, with nothing and no fans, how great to see just about no empty seats and a full house and screaming their lungs out and with the hoarse voices and rooting for the Nets. And for you as a broadcaster, that kind of energy adds to your energy. So anyone listening on the radio, and there are plenty of those doing that, let's face it, let's be honest, bottom line is that it just adds to the team, adds to your broadcast as well.
Yeah, we were remote for the road games all year, doing it off monitor in Brooklyn, and we stayed that way for the first round of the playoffs, and then everything started to open up, and I inquired. I said, "Can we get back out on the road?" And we're not able to travel with the team like we normally would because the COVID protocols are still in place to limit the amount of people that they can have on their plane. Mm-hmm. So we're going commercial, but we were in the building in games 3 and 4 in Milwaukee for the first time since March of 2020 when it all started, and it was, mm-hmm. you know, the game, the first time the Nets had full capacity, you know, had all the fans in the building in the Boston series, mm-hmm. it was emotional. It was palpable. You know, the energy. It not only was it a playoff game with a team that, you know, people are excited about, mm-hmm. but it was all these people were together in a big group mm-hmm. for the first time, and you could just feel it. It was such an incredible environment that day. And then I was in, you know, out in Milwaukee for game 3, and that's the first time that they had full capacity, and you could just feel it. It's palpable. They had thousands of people out on the the Deer District, the little courtyard outside the arena. They had thousands of people watching it on the screen. And
that's right.
There's just this celebratory atmosphere. You know, people are, you know, not only just excited about the playoffs, but just excited to be together again in a big group. And it's great. It's great, Steve.
Well, it is fun, even watching on television, Chris, and you could feel it, and it's exciting. There's no question about it.
Yeah, the games are better, right, on TV when you've got a lot of fans there.
Well, yeah, because if you're calling a game, I mean, obviously, you know, you're watching a monitor, that's for sure, and you may not see every single bit of minutia, every little bit of detail.
Yeah.
You're into that. You're the kind of a basketball play-by-play guy that doesn't miss a trick. You're right there. I mean, we listen to you. You know, oh, no. Yes, I'm throwing a bouquet, but you deserve to hear that. You really do. You're as good as they come. And the bottom line is, but watching a monitor, give me what would have been or what was for you the most difficult, even with replays, what made it a little bit less than perfect for you having to call games off a monitor?
You know, I was a little more prepared for it, I think, than a lot of guys, because I do, and I have done for years, a lot of international games off monitor for NBA TV. So for years I've done EuroLeague games. I did three different Olympics off monitor, and whenever the NBA has games played internationally, I go into NBA TV with Tim Capstraw and we do the games from Sea Caucus. So I've done hundreds of games off monitor. So I think I was a little more prepared than some others who haven't really done it. The biggest thing, though, basketball is not as bad because you can see all 10 guys on the floor. And we were really lucky at our setup where I was able to have one angle. We were actually in Barclays Center in our normal location where we broadcast the games from. Mm-hmm. And they would put the television broadcast, on the Jumbotron. Hmm. And then they would give me another monitor where I just had what they call camera one, just the court camera. Mm-hmm. So I always was able to see the court. It's not brain surgery. It's not, it's nothing that should win me a Nobel Prize. And, you know, people just want to hear the end result. The biggest thing, Steve, though, is bringing your energy up. Because when you're in an arena, you feed off the energy of the crowd.
Sure.
When you're watching it on a monitor, you have to fake it. You've got to make sure that your energy matches the environment in the arena. And that's the hardest part. That's the biggest thing, I think, when you notice when guys aren't in the stadium is to match the energy of what you're watching.
Well, there'll be tomorrow night an awful lot of energy that you could be feeding off of, and no doubt the Nets will be doing their best to feed off that energy as well. I can't thank you enough for giving us a couple of minutes. You know it means a lot. That's number one. Number two, have a great broadcast tomorrow night, and much good luck to you.
Steve, you are a legend. Anytime, man. I always love coming on with you. I appreciate you having me on.
I hope you're going to be on for the next series coming up. So we'll see what happens. And thanks so much, Chris. Be well.
All right, see you. Take care, buddy.
You too. All right, Chris Corino, radio voice of the Brooklyn Nets. And yeah, I like to throw bouquets because they're deserved. Usually, you only hear from management when you screw up in some way or another. But Corino is as good as they come. I an eagle with television. The Nets are very, very fortunate to have two very professional broadcasters doing their games.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.